Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight, and what a blessing it's already been just being in this place and the opportunity we have for tonight, taking advantage of it and coming to church. And so what a blessing. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Numbers in chapter 1, we started a new series on Sunday nights as far as a series on the divisions of the Bible. Now, we started that about 2 months ago, but all through the month of June, we focused on Faith Promise Missions on our Sunday evening services as well, and having the different missionaries in. So we'll be going back to our study here, our series on the divisions of the Bible. And what are we doing with God's Word? It's so very important. And there's three thoughts as we go through and study the divisions of the Bible. And first of all, we need to learn to love the Bible because it's God's love letter to us. We also need to learn from it. It allow it to mold us, allow the Word of God to mold our thinking and our lives. And so learn from it and then live by it. Base our convictions on it. Everything about the Word of God is for us to apply to our lives today. And I trust that you understand the importance of the very words that God has preserved for humanity. We will stand and give an account for what we've done with the words of God. So the first division is called the Pentateuch, or it's the first five books of the Old Testament. It's called the books of Moses, the books of the law. We find that there's, as you know, 39 Old Testament books, 27 New Testament, and divisions of the Old Testament is the five books in the law. There's 12 books in the history of Israel. There's six books in the poetry books of Israel. And then there's 16 books of prophecy, all those in the Old Testament. So there's four different divisions in the Old Testament, and we're breaking it down to study the Bible in the divisions that God has given to us, okay? And so the book of the first five books of the Old Testament, the book of Moses, the book of the law, is the foundation of the Bible. And if you destroy the foundation, then everything that's built on it will crumble. And so the foundation has to be strong. And the foundation of the Bible is very strong. It reveals the beginning of man and his relationship with the only true God. And so these first five books of the Old Testament is something that we need to understand. And now we just went through with the last lesson on the book of Leviticus. That's not the first book that you want to start reading if you're looking to read the Bible through. Amen? But we do need to understand the book of Leviticus. It's our way into the very sanctuary or into the very presence of God. And he revealed all that to them concerning how they were to build the tabernacle and everything about that. But now we get back into the book of Numbers, and we're getting ready for them to march toward the promised land. And so Numbers chapter 1, go ahead and stand with me. We're going to read the first three verses. The Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, in the tabernacle of the congregation, on the first day of the second month in the second year, after they were come out of the land of Egypt, saying, Take ye the sum of all the congregation of the children of Israel, after their families, by the house of their fathers, with the number of their names, every male by their polls, from 20 years old and upward, all that are able to go forth to war in Israel, thou and Aaron shall number them by their armies." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we do bow before you tonight, we love you, Lord. Thank you for this opportunity to be in church. And I just pray, God, that you would now just give each one of us that ear to hear exactly what you have to say to us tonight through the teaching and the preaching of thy word. And I pray that you would use this evening to be able to strengthen our understanding of the very words of God. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. All right. The book of Numbers means the numbering of the men of war. The numbering of the men of war, as we look there in verse 3, it reveals that. God prepares them, the nation of Israel, his children, for the battles brought on by their service or their commitment to him. Now, these are the children of God, and it's helping us to see exactly how God works with his children. And so God's preparing them for the battles. They are going to leave Sinai, and they're going to make their way through the wilderness to the promised land of Canaan. And that's what the book of Numbers and the book of Deuteronomy, the first five books, it helps us to understand their journey from the Sinai, or actually it was from the beginning into the land of Egypt, and then delivered them out of the land of Egypt during the Exodus, and now their journey from Sinai to the Promised Land. The theme of this book would be trials and testings on their way to the Promised Land. Now, we have this. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, now all these things happen unto them for ensemples. Paul writing, talking about the Old Testament saints, the nation of Israel. Now all these things happen unto them for ensemples. That's living examples. And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. And so we find that we are to learn these biblical principles and the truths that we have found in the Old Testament and the study of the nation of Israel, and be able to apply those principles even to our lives today. Trials and testings on their way to the Promised Land. Now, their journey from Egypt to Canaan, or if we relate to that and how we are to apply it, would be from our salvation to God's perfect will for our lives. The Promised Land does not symbolize heaven. It symbolizes the will of God for His people. It was God's will for the nation of Israel, amen, to possess the Promised Land of Canaan. And so as we look at what took place there, it is just like, as we study this, it's like our lives from salvation and then trying to accomplish what God would have us to accomplish with the time that He has for us to be on this earth. And as they sang just a minute ago, all of this in preparation for seeing the Lord face to face, having glorified bodies and having eternity in a place of heaven, as the Bible reveals to us, a different dimension for us. And so the book of Numbers is a very helpful book in the Bible for New Testament Christianity. Now we don't have time to do an exhaustive study, and so just one message on this book, and that's tonight. The first four chapters, chapters 1 through chapter 4, they're counted and they're placed or organized around the tabernacle as per God's will. Look in chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. God had specific duties for every tribe. He positioned them as He wanted to position them around the tabernacle. So chapter 2 and verse 1, the Bible says, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, every man of the children of Israel shall pitch by his own standard with the ensign of their father's house, far off about the tabernacle, the congregation shall they pitch. On the east side, toward the rising of the sun, shall they of the standard of the camp of Judah pitch throughout their armies. And Nashon, the son of Amminadab, shall be captain of the children of Judah. And his host and those that were numbered of them were 74,600. And those that do pitch next unto him shall be the tribe of Issachar. And Nethaneel, the son of Zur, shall be captain of the children of Issachar. Now, we'll continue. If you'd continue and read that, we find the first four chapters. It reveals how God had established them and planted them around the tabernacle according to His will. That's a blessing. Because as we look to the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, this very same principle holds true with Jesus establishing His church. Jesus establishing His church for this New Testament church age, we have this very same principle, is that God established the church and it becomes the body of Christ, every body representing a body of Christ, and Christ is the head representing a New Testament church, and every saved individual makes up that particular body. And the Bible says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 4, now there are divisions of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. There was only one tabernacle. One tabernacle revealed the very presence of God amongst His people. And He was the one that determined how that they would be organized around Him. And so it goes on to say, and there are differences in administration, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but if it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Given the Spirit of God so that you can accomplish what God has for you to accomplish. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Now look down to verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink unto one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Verse 18. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. So who determined which were the tribes of Israel, the children of Israel, were positioned around the tabernacle? It was God. God understanding just what tribe he wanted where, he had a purpose for them. He prepared them for whatever their purpose would be as they would march through the wilderness and on their way to the promised land to find and to accomplish God's will for their lives. In New Testament Christianity, it's somewhat the very same thing. As you're saved, then God equips you, God prepares you for his will for your life. And he is going to plant you in a local New Testament church where you can use those spiritual gifts and you can use whatever God has given to you and how he's prepared you so that you might be a part of that local body to accomplish what God has that local body to accomplish. That's God who plants people in the church. It's God who determines their spiritual gifts. It's God who determines and reveals to them what my will is for you through my church in accomplishing what he has the church to accomplish, and that is reaching the world with the gospel of Christ. So as we look and we study this book of Numbers, there's more than just historical understanding here. It is biblical principles that we continue to apply to our lives even today. As we go on with the book of Numbers, chapter 5 through chapter 10, the people were instructed on how to live in order to have God's blessings. Look with me at chapter 10, rather. Verses 11 through 13. From chapter 5 to chapter 10, let me go back with you, just read a couple verses there in chapter 5, as I mentioned a minute ago. Chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, it says this, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they put out of the camp every leper, and every one that hath an issue, and whosoever is defiled by the dead." Now, he is instructing them on as they go through the wilderness and looking to go to the promised land, they were given instructions and commandments that they were to live by while they were seeking to accomplish God's real will for their lives. Now, if you look in Numbers in chapter 10, verse 11, "It came to pass on the 20th day of the second month in the second year that the cloud was taking up from off the tabernacle the testimony. The children of Israel took their journey out of the wilderness of Sinai, and the cloud rested in the wilderness of Paran. And they first took their journey according to the commandments of the Lord by the hand of Moses." And so he instructs them, commands them what they're to do, and then he leads them through the wilderness. During the day, it was a cloud that whenever the cloud would leave and they were to follow the leading of the Spirit of God, they would follow the cloud as it would guide them. And at night, you see, there would be a fire that would actually help them to keep warmth on them, but they would always be able to acknowledge the presence of God as they were doing what God had them to do, heading for the promised land. Wow. Matthew chapter 5 through Matthew chapter 7 is Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Something that every Christian ought to read and reread and reread, because it's Jesus Christ revealing to us the goal of Christianity. the attitude of all Christians, how we should live and how we should look to God and let the Spirit of God direct us through our lives. In closing out on the Sermon on the Mount in chapter 7, I want you to see this, in chapter 7, because the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus instructing his disciples on life, on attitudes, on everything that we're to accomplish. Then we find at closing this out in chapter 7, he says in verse 24, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." As we get saved, and God has a purpose and a plan for our lives, if we just continue to look to the words of God, if we continue to allow the Spirit of God to lead, guide, and direct us, and we stay focused on God's will for our lives, can I tell you, there's nothing that's going to stop you. If you're focused on the will of God, then you will accomplish the will of God for your life. It's when we get sidetracked. So we stop building our house upon the rock, and we want to start building our house upon the sand. Stop looking to the instructions of God and start looking to ourselves on how we want to live our lives and the things that we want to accomplish. As long as we stay focused on the cloud by day and the fire by night and let that determine when we get up and how far we go and what we accomplish on our way to the promised land, nothing can defeat us. Staying in the will of God, staying focused on Him and His presence, and obeying the commandments that He gave us before we started out on the journey. There's nothing that can stand in our way. Yeah. Wow, the people were instructed on how to live in order to have God's blessings as they would go to the promised land. Chapter 11 and 12. Go back with me. Look at chapter 11. In chapter 11, verses 1 through 3, what happened to get them off track to start with? It's something that was reoccurring. Satan would continue to use this over and over in their lives to discourage them and to keep them from the blessings of God. Verse 11, "And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. And the Lord heard it, and His anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. And he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burnt among them." The people lacked thanksgiving. Discontentment led to chastisement, the murmurings of God's people, the complaining and the discontentment, and living the Christian life as God would have us to live it. The New Testament, Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, it says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God." What if we learn that? If we would learn that lesson, if we would learn that biblical principle, thank God. Always thank God. The Bible says in Hebrews 13, 5, "Be content with such things as ye have." But if you would go through the scriptures in the book of Numbers, you'll find the murmurings. And this is what they would murmur. This is what led to a lot of God's judgment upon them. The murmuring about, concerning the way. It wasn't the way they wanted it. It was the way that God knew it needed to be to prepare them for the promised land. They're in the wilderness. They're not on vacation. Amen? Sometimes we have to go through trials to prepare us for what's ahead. Every trial, if you focus on God and you stay content and you look to God and are thankful and you look to learn from that, you'll be stronger on the other side and better prepared to accomplish God's will for your life. But they murmured, complained concerning the way. They murmured, complained concerning their food. They murmured, complained concerning the giants. They murmured and complained concerning their leaders. They murmured and complained concerning how God would judge them. They murmured and complained concerning the wilderness. Murmurings, complaints, and disagreements with God. Now, I'm all for if you can do something about what's taking place, then do something about it. But if you know it's something that you can't control and you know God is controlling it, be thankful. Surrender your will to God's will. Be willing to say, God, thy will be done, not mine. You know more than I do. You know what I need more than I know what I need. And instead of looking to live a life of complaint and murmurings, live a life of thanksgiving and look to God and be thankful for what you have and be content for what God has already blessed you with. Because if you're not, if you live a life of murmuring and complaints, listen to me, you're displeasing God. And if you don't have the blessings of God, you're going to have the judgment of God. Always look to be thankful. Now, if I'm out and I get soaked like we did, was it Wednesday night or last Sunday or whatever it was? Or no, it was Friday night. And it was a golly washer. I mean, the rain came down. I can get wet. Now, I can just come in and sit around and complain about getting wet and getting rained on, all that. Or I can maybe do something about it, like go and change my clothes. Some people, though, they love this mentality of wanting to have something to complain. So they'll just sit down in their wet clothes and just complain about their clothes being wet. Now, that's silliness, but that's what we do a lot. If you can do something about it, ask God for wisdom and strength to help the circumstances of life. But if the circumstances of life is that which I have no control over, then understand one thing, what you do not control, God does. And complaining about those circumstances, about those things that cannot be changed, is not going to help anything. Except put you in a position of rebellion against God. No. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God. They would have to learn that. They would learn that on their way through the wilderness and to the promised land. Chapters 13 through 20. Look with me to chapter 14. Now they're at the promised land. They're at the doorsteps. They're right there. All they have to do is possess the land. All they have to do, God did all the work. God led them there. They were victorious in getting there. Just possess it. The people's lack of faith leads to their failures to possess the promised land. That's chapters 13 down to chapter 20. But look at chapter 14 and verse 28. As they sent the spies in, the spies come back and gave a sad report. Now we find here God says, "But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it." Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwelt in the valley. Tomorrow turn you and get you into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. And the Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron, saying, "How long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmureth against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, And all that were numbered of you according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me, doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. But your little ones, which he said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in the wilderness. How sad for people to live their lives and get that close to accomplishing what God has for you to accomplish. And the temptations get stronger. The trials. No devil gets you to turn your back on God. And you yield to certain sins. You yield to certain temptations, which keep you from ever accomplishing God's will for your life. People have been saved, but they have not entered into the will of God for their lives because of their faith. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. There's going to be giants that you're going to have to battle. If you go by what you see, the eyes will deceive you. The mind will deceive you. Even the heart will deceive us. But the words of God will never change. God's will for your life. Once you understand God's will for your life, that will never, never change. The words of God are there for us. He has promised. He said, heaven and earth shall pass away. My words shall never pass away, because that's what you have that represents my will for your life. Stay focused on my word. Stay focused on my will. And if you're focused on that, you can do what I've called you to do. Amen. But I didn't stay focused on that. They looked at everything but faith, that God could deliver their enemies and give them the land of promise. Wow. Happens to us. As a pastor, I see it all too often. And there's times I wish I could grab somebody and smack them around a little bit. Amen? Open your eyes and look and see what you're doing. Look to see what Satan has blinded you to. Stay focused on God. I want to help people. But I can't make decisions for people. All I can do is wave a red flag. All I can do is preach the word. And that's exactly what we have need of. But you have to listen to the word being preached. You have to apply the counsel given. Counsel in itself has never helped anybody accomplish anything. But counsel applied changes everything. If we'll just do what God counsels us to do, live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God, and you can live a victorious Christian life. You can accomplish God's will for your life. They were right there. They'd made it through the wilderness. They were right there. All they had to do is by faith occupy the land. And they turned away. So the judgments of God came upon them. None of those adults that were numbered to fight would see the promised land. They would not possess it. Only the two that had faith. Well, chapters 21 through 36, closing out the book of Numbers, I want you to look to Numbers chapter 27, verse 15. The next generation, they would be numbered and given a new leader because it still was God's will for his people to possess the land of Canaan. Chapter 27, verse 15. And Moses spake unto the Lord, saying, Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, which may go out before them, and which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, and which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd. And the Lord said unto Moses, Take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is a spirit, and lay thy hand upon him, and set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation, and give him a charge in their sight. And thou shalt put some of thine honor upon him, and all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. And he shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall ask counsel for him after the judgment of Urim before the Lord. As his word shall they go out, at his word shall they go out, and at his word shall they come in, both he and all the children of Israel with him, even all the congregation. The next generation, they were numbered. Why would they be numbered? Because it was God's will. And they would be giving the same commandments, because God's will had not changed for his children. They were to possess the promised land. They would just be under new leadership. And it would be all of the younger that did not have a say-so in the first failure of possessing the promised land. And the book of Joshua will find that they enter into, as per God's will, the promised land. God's will for them would be the same. For 22,000 years, 21 generations or so, God's will is the same. God's will for the first century church and the first century believers is the very same is God's will for this 21st century church and this 21st century believer. Amen. The Bible's never changed. Right. We've been under maybe a lot of different types of preachers and leaders, but the same Lord. Amen. Sometimes men will fail you, but if we stay focused on Jesus Christ, he'll never fail us. The book of Numbers helps us to understand the trials and the tribulations of God's people searching and finding God's will for their lives. Oh, how we need to stay focused on what God's given to us, to have the peace of knowing every day I am serving God, for he has planted me, and doing the work that he has called me to do. Not just as a pastor, not just as a staff, but every member of his church. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. We serve the same God. Different set of circumstances in the Old Testament, the law, but it was to prepare them for the coming of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, who would fulfill the Old Testament to establish the New Testament and the New Testament church. And it's the same will of God as we find in the Old Testament. He has a purpose and a plan for each and every one of our lives. Let's by faith accept it and be found faithful, serving him. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you tonight, we thank you for the truths of the books of the Bible. Thank you for this book of Numbers, which is part of the first foundational books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, the divisions that you have given to us. And I pray, God, tonight that we, as we learn from this book of Numbers, we can see how it applies to our lives even today. how that we can see the fulfillment of this in the New Testament teachings of Christ. And I pray, God, that you'd help each one of us to first and foremost know that we're saved, know that we're on the right track, and have faith to accomplish your will for our lives. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.